They were the bait. I said she'd have to come over to get them, hoping maybe she'd want to show her gratitude for the favor I just did her. Analyzing the con. Peter's phone call to the marketing company represented the most basic form of social engineering. A simple attempt that needed little preparation worked on the first attempt and took only a few minutes to bring off. Even better, Mary, the victim, had no reason to think that any sort of trick or ruse had been played on her, no reason to file a report or raise a ruckus. The scheme worked through Peter's use of three social engineering tactics. First, he got Mary's initial cooperation by generating fear, making her think that her computer might not be usable. Then, he took the time to have her open two of her applications, so she could be sure they were working okay, strengthening the rapport between the two of them, a sense of being allies. Finally, he got her further cooperation for the essential part of his task by playing on her gratitude for the help he had provided in making sure her computer was okay. By telling her she shouldn't ever reveal her password, should not reveal it even to him, Peter did a thorough but subtle job of convincing her that he was concerned about the security of her company's files. This boosted her confidence that he must be legitimate because he was protecting her and the company. Mitnick message. It's amazing how easy it is for a social engineer to get people to do things based on how he structures the request. The premise is to trigger an automatic response based on psychological principles and rely on the mental shortcuts people take when they perceive the caller as an ally. The police raid. Picture this scene. The government has been trying to lay a trap for a man named Arturo Sanchez, who has been distributing movies free over the internet. The Hollywood studios say he's violating their copyrights. He says he's just trying to nudge them to recognize an inevitable market so they'll start doing something about making new movies available for download. He points out, correctly, that this could be a huge source of revenue for the studios that they seem to be completely ignoring. Search warrant, please. Coming home late one night, he checks the windows of his apartment from across the street and notices the lights are off, even though he always leaves one on when he goes out. He pounds and bangs on a neighbor's door until he wakes the man up and learns that there was indeed a police raid in the building. But they made the neighbors stay downstairs, and he still isn't sure what apartment they went into. He only knows they left carrying some heavy things, only they were wrapped up and he couldn't tell what they were, and they didn't take anybody away in handcuffs. Arturo checks his apartment. The bad news is that there's a paper from the police requiring that he call immediately and set up an appointment for an interview within 3 days. The worst news is that his computers are missing. Arturo vanishes into the night, going to stay with a friend. But the uncertainty gnaws at him. How much did the police know? Have they caught up with him at last, but left him a chance to flee? Or is this about something else entirely, something he can clear up without having to leave town? Before you continue listening, stop and think for a moment. Can you imagine any way you could find out what the police know about you? Assuming you don't have any political contacts or friends in the police department or the prosecutor's office, do you imagine there's any way that you, as an ordinary citizen, could get this information? Or that even someone with social engineering skills could? Scamming the police. Arturo satisfied his need to know like this. To start with, he got the phone number for a nearby copy store, called them, and asked for their fax number. Then he called the district attorney's office and asked for records. When he was connected with the records office, he introduced himself as an investigator with Lake County and said he needed to speak with the clerk who files the active search warrants. I do, the lady said. Oh, great, he answered, because we raided a suspect last night, and I'm trying to locate the affidavit. We file them by address, she told him. He gave his address, and she sounded almost excited. Oh, yeah, she bubbled. I know about that one, the copyright caper. That's the one, he said. I'm looking for the affidavit and copy of the warrant. Oh, I have it right here. Great, he said. Listen, I'm out in the field, and I have a meeting with the Secret Service on this case in 15 minutes. I've been so absent-minded lately, I left the file at home, and I'll never make it there and back in time. Could I get copies from you? Sure, no problem. I'll make copies. You can come right over and pick them up. Great, he said. That's great. But listen, I'm on the other side of town. Is it possible you could fax them to me? That created a small problem, but not insurmountable. We don't have a fax up here in records, she said, but they have one downstairs in the clerk's office they might let me use. He said, let me call the clerk's office and set it up. The lady in the clerk's office said she'd be glad to take care of it, but wanted to know who's going to pay for it. She needed an accounting code. I'll get the code and call you back, he told her. He then called the DA's office, again identified himself as a police officer, and simply asked the receptionist, what's the accounting code for the DA's office? Without hesitation, she told him. Calling back to the clerk's office to provide the accounting number gave him the excuse for manipulating the lady a little further. He talked her into walking upstairs to get the copies of the paper to be faxed. Note: how does a social engineer know the details of so many operations, police departments, prosecutors' offices, phone company practices, the organization of specific companies that are in fields useful in his attacks, such as telecommunications and computers? Because it's his business to find out. This knowledge is a social engineer's stock in trade, because information can aid him in his efforts to deceive. Covering his tracks. Arturo still had another couple of steps to take. There was always a possibility that someone would smell something fishy, and he might arrive at the copy store to find a couple of detectives, casually dressed and trying to look busy until somebody showed up asking for that particular fax. He waited a while, and then called the clerk's office back to verify that the lady had sent the fax. Fine so far. He called another copy store in the same chain across town and used the ruse